Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Afternoon, world. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're doing good. Your Monday is treating you well. Week is starting off good. Welcome to the 5 p.m. hour. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. Solo show today. But I'm not alone. I get all of you to hang out with. Feel free to call up 715-424-2600. Looking forward to hanging out with you, hearing your sports thoughts and feelings. We send a gigantic shout out to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Reach out to them for all your printing needs. Big thank you to them for sponsoring the show. And be sure to join us on our morning show about 8:45-ish every Wednesday. We're joined by Phil Hartley with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. We have a lot of fun with catching up with Phil as well. We're going to be doing some catching up here over the weekend, some sports stuff that happened. We'll be getting into Little League World Series. I want to talk about that with all of y'all. We'll get into that one as well. The Big Ten has revealed some interesting news about what they'll be doing about tiebreakers with their 18-game conference. Get into that one. Also want to get into a couple of topics if we have time to. Every current 2024 MLB's playoff contenders' biggest strength. What are the biggest strengths for the MLB teams going into the playoffs this season as we're getting gearing up for that? We can talk Brewers if you'd like. But we got to start off with some breaking news. And I don't think I have a breaking news. What is it? Nope, that is not breaking news. That is the winning bell. Do I have it? What about this? Nope, that's still the winning bell. Okay, that's the only sound effect I have. I need a breaking news sounder. We got to get one because for those that did not hear over, and I'm a little surprised that I did not hear Mike talk on this one. The Tennessee Titans are sending quarterback Malik Willis to the Green Bay Packers for 2025 seventh round pick, according to Adam Schefter, and a thank you to him for that. I want to talk about this trade, talk about what this means as the NFL is getting ready for cuts, and most of all, want to talk to all of you. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Well, good afternoon, James.
Hey, Kev, how you doing, man?
Oh, not too bad. I figured since you're by yourself, I might help you out.
I always appreciate that you're doing your good deed of the day. I feel like this is definitely going to get you on Santa's list early. Get it out of the way early. This way you're covered for Christmas. It's good to have you with us, man.
Yeah, we might as well keep doing that. I mean, this is just, it helps you out a little bit and keeps you on your toes a little bit on it.
We need that. We need some accountability always. We appreciate that. Did you hear about the trade with Malik Willis and the Packers?
Yeah, I was just kind of reading it because it kind of just came across not too long ago. And I mean, a seventh round draft pick. I mean, I guess I'm not too worried about it. So basically, it's probably telling us that they're going to probably put Sean Clifford as, you know, a emergency quarterback. So he'll probably be one of those on the roster, but, you know, a healthy scratch or whatever they call it, and they'll probably put Michael Pratt on the practice squad unless they cut Pratt and put Clifford on the practice squad. It's just I was kind of surprised, but not really surprised kind of deal.
Do you think it's an upgrade? Because I do. I think, and on the very least, a potential, I think it's an upgrade.
Well, I'm kind of reading it right here. It says he's a third-round draft pick from in 2022.
Yeah.
He made 11 appearances, 3 starts through the 2 seasons. He's going to be a mobile quarterback the way it looks because he ran the ball 32 times for 144 yards and a touchdown.
There we go. Yes.
So, I mean, if Love got hurt, I probably would feel more comfortable with him.
Mm-hmm. This is the thing about Clifford. It to me. Yeah. It's nothing against Clifford or Pratt. For one, they had the plenty of opportunities and didn't show us much. We kind of had the feeling Matt LaFleur is I don't know, maybe he's picking up a little bit from Pat Murphy. He more and more so cares less and less about what we think. He's just kind of doing, he's going to make sure that he is taking care of this team and that comes first, and that's his job. So more power to him. But when it comes to his showing his hand a little bit, I feel like he was doing that a little even in the off season, going back to training camp, let alone the way the preseason has went. Nobody really stood out to him at quarterback. Nobody was really bringing it home for him. I'm not surprised to see them make this move, other than it's nice to see the Packers make a move like this. This is what contenders do. And it's nice to see them playing like, you know, the GMs and everybody on the same page. They're treating the season like it's a contending season. You can see this. I've been talking about really since the beginning beginning of a preseason what a team is, any NFL team is like when you lose your starting quarterback and how the season just ends right there. Nobody has any hope left. To me, if I'm a Packer fan and I've got a Clifford coming in for Jordan Love, I'm feeling that way. I'm looking at 2025. I'm already starting to think about that. I'm not saying it's a gigantic difference with Malik Willis, but you hit it on the head, man. His playing style is so much more compatible to what Matt LaFleur does. And this kid, I watched him play at Liberty. He backed up at Auburn. He was going to have a chance to start at Auburn and just went to Liberty. It was a green light situation where he knew he would start and play well, and he did. He was the Dudley Award winner, I believe, in 2021, 2020. Something like that. He's no slouch. This kid has plenty of potential. He is also about the same, not the same size as Jordan Love. He's a little smaller, but he fits the offensive line scheme as well. I didn't think about that. I don't think a lot of people think about that, but as a Bear fan, when I know that I'm going to see two to three different quarterbacks every season, and none of them good usually, I know that the playing style matters so much with the offensive line, what those guys are used to. Look at Lamar Jackson's offensive line. They live with their heads on a swivel. They know that Patrick Mahomes, same thing. These guys know that, okay, these are improvers. I have to be on my feet. Jordan Love is a little bit of a sit-back, a little more of a calmer quarterback. Malik Willis is more of that kind of quarterback. He's going to fit this scheme so much better. And whatever we saw in him in Tennessee, I really believe that his best can be brought out by good coaching. And you got good coaching in Green Bay.
Right, and that's, I guess, I mean, you almost can call the Green Bay Packers a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at the years. I mean, you had, you know, Mark Brunell and,
I was thinking of, a little bit of even Don Majkowski. Going back to that and you know, Magic Man and everything, there's a parallel universe where there are a lot of people naming their kids after him, their dog after him, and not Brett. There's a whole other world that happened in and stuff. I think that I don't know if there's many teams outside of maybe San Francisco and a couple of like those kind of teams that could say the same thing that you did with the Green Bay being whispers, because it's not just the starters and the guys like that. I'm glad you brought up Mark Brunell. It's a great one. The backup quarterbacks in Green Bay have traditionally been good. Even though that's easy to say, I suppose. I mean, we don't see most of them for about, 10 years when Brett Favre is starting every game. Right. Easy for me to say that. But we did have good feelings about them, that's for sure. I don't know. It's all about, you know, feeling right now. It's about potential. And if Matt LaFleur likes this move, I would feel you can trust well in that. I think it's a much better fit going forward than it was with the other quarterbacks. And I agree with you. I think Pratt is probably going to be able to sign with another team by the end of today. And, they're going to put Clifford on training. If he stays with the team, they pick up these guys pretty quick right now. So Clifford could end up going to the practice squad and then picked up by another team by tomorrow. And you are pulling in Pratt back in or something. One of those guys is definitely going to go, though. They're going to be the odd man out. Just a matter of which one, and I don't know which one you choose. If it's splitting hairs, Matt LaFleur would know better than I would. But it feels a little bit like it's a toss up between the two.
And you know, and with Clifford, I mean, last year, I mean, he backed up Jordan Love the whole year. You know, we got lucky that Jordan never did get hurt, but Clifford looked good in the preseason last year. Something was different about him this year that it just did he not, you know, do his workouts this year, or did he not? I mean, he did not look the same, because I was really impressed with what he did last year as a preseason, and obviously the coaching staff did too, because they kept him on the roster. But man, I just, something happened. And
so always wonder when there's not an injury in there, you always do wonder about those things. And it's one thing to be motivated when you're a starter. It's got to be a little bit more difficult when you're backing up, I imagine. It is going to be interesting to see the cuts that happen in Green Bay, too, considering they've only really made one cut so far. They've got a lot of roster room to make.
Yeah, and, I mean, I guess I'll be probably, I mean, obviously I'll be listening to the talking heads and stuff tomorrow and seeing where they're going to go. And but the question I have for you, and you know, and this was brought up today too, is our kicker on the roster right now.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
because missing that 38-yard field goal on Saturday, I don't think Anders Carlson, that did him any favors.
No, no. Here's the thing. I think that we may have even gotten the answer here in the last hour when we see a trade like this happen. And you don't make it – I know it's a seventh-round pick. To us, it doesn't seem like a lot. They covet these things so much in the NFL, these draft picks. And while some teams are a little bit lighter with them, not Green Bay. So if they're trading a draft pick, they're trading part of the future. And if you're going to do that, you're going to do it on a guy that you want to bring in and a guy that you think you're going to get multiple years from. So I that's part of the reason why I feel like the Malik Willis thing, I feel confident from it because they feel confident from it. And I trust that front office. With the kicker situation, are they the type of team that, okay, well, we put a draft pick in this kid not even a year ago or just barely a year ago. We can't look bad or we have to see this through. What kind of franchise are they? Or are they, we got to win now. Today, this is go time. We can't afford to lose a game by a point because this kid can't make a PAT or he can't kick a 30-yarder. We need somebody that we can rely on. We need a veteran. Well, let's sit back and wait and see what NFL cuts happen, what kickers are out there, and let's have our pick of the litter there because if you're a kicker, this is an offense you want to be kicking. I hear a lot of the talking heads saying that the starting kicker for Green Bay is not on the roster yet, and I agree with that. Up until the point of I don't know how this front office looks at these situations. They haven't been in a lot of these situations. They haven't had to make moves like this very often. Most of the time, even if a guy isn't giving you a great rookie year, you believe in him enough to be like, well, he's not going to be cut. He's a D lineman, but we're not cutting him. Kicker is such a weird position. We don't value it, but yet we should. and if we should or not is a whole other conversation of if there should even be kicking in football at all of this. That's a whole other thing. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I have to agree with most of the talking heads out there. I think that they're your starting kicker. You don't know who it's going to be yet. The flyers and the pamphlets that they're going to hand out on opening week. That is a position they have not filled out yet on that sheet. But Anders Carlson isn't the. If you are going to go with him this season. Well, what a confidence boost that is for that kid. Maybe that is the thing he needed, the last bit he needed. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, some people aren't motivated by competition. Some people, they are deterred by it and everything, and it gets in their head. With a kicker, who knows? Their brains usually are a house of cards, according to like guys like Robbie Gould and kickers that I think are awfully, you know, we used to call Robbie 14 karat gold. He was the best thing we had on the team. He was the most reliable thing on the team. There are some of these guys that are just automatic, and some guys you just don't know.
Okay, so now that you bring up Robbie Gould, because that was brought up today, do you start making a phone call to him?
I would if I was. I don't know outside of Baltimore. I don't know that I wouldn't have called Robbie Gould for the last 3-4 months. That man could still kick. He hasn't officially retired. He's one of the best kickers in the NFL. The only reason he didn't end his career in Chicago is because they got cheap on him. He was doing great for San Francisco. He that's a reliable guy and a guy that if you don't have to bring in, you're bringing in this point in the season. A lot of these guys are more willing to jump in when training camp's done and you don't have to play any preseason games. I would keep an eye on Aaron Donald as far as that goes. I know that he has to, I believe that he's still under contract with the Rams, but they work those things out sometimes. A guy like him, he's still in shape. Put it that way. He's still staying in shape.
Well, and you know, even, you know, people are saying something about Mason Crosby, but he's been out of the game too long that I think to really either consider him. But, you know, I know that Rich Bisaccia is the head special teams coach, and he's the one that's kind of believed in Anders. But, boy, let me tell you, if he goes out there against Philadelphia and he's got a 40-yard field goal or a 35-yard field goal to win the game and he misses it wide left, bad, or wide right, these chip shots he's missing, and that's – you need – I mean, how many games did they lose last year that they probably could have – one, if he would have made a, you know, or the decisions that they had to make, they weren't sure if he was going to kick, so they had to go for it on fourth.
And if you're going to go in there and you're already worried about it, you'd rather be worried about it with a Greg Zuerlein You'd rather be worried about it with a veteran and having them going out there than having a kid that just has not proven anything to us yet. He looks like he's got skill. He looks like he's got a leg on him. But with kickers, when they miss things, sure, sometimes it's the snap not being there or the court, you know, the lines aren't lined up or something like that. We hear those things. We see those things. We also see plenty of kickers like Justin Tucker and other guys like that, that the ball is just crooked and they still nail a 40-some yarder. It can't be perfect every time, and if you need your kicker to have things perfect every time, you don't got a kicker. I've been thinking about this with Miami a lot. I'm a fan of Tua Tagovailoa. I think he's a great young quarterback. I think he's got a lot of great skill. But the thing about him, like a handful of other quarterbacks, like a Kirk Cousins or some of these guys, they need perfect conditions. They need everything to be right on every play. Otherwise, it's not going to go well. And I don't need a quarterback like that. I need a quarterback that can work in the slop. That can work when you're working with your third backup running a right guard and can make decisions in a couple of seconds, like a Jordan Love, like some of those guys that are like that, that can adapt to these things. You need a kicker like that too. You need a kicker that can adapt and can kick in all kinds of messed up situations, especially if he's kicking in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Right. I mean that's a thing too, and you know. I guess I would be making that phone call today. I would really think about making that phone call to Robbie Gould. I really do. I mean, that's just
ooh. And I gotta say, man, that one, I don't know. I think that would sting more than Jim McMahon kneeling down in the Super Bowl to seal a Packers Super Bowl, that seeing Robbie go. But at the same time, I will say this, and I'm not speaking for all Bear fans or anything. Nobody would be happier for Robbie Gould than me. I would be ecstatic for him. It would be a great situation for any kicker, especially one that I think deserves it. And it's just a good guy. Robbie Gould is a good guy. He's done nothing but put into every community he's ever worked in or lived in. And I think that he'd be a good fit. There isn't a ton out there when it comes to free agent kickers. That's the other thing. It's the same thing I think a lot of smart people say whenever, armchair quarterbacks want to talk about, get rid of the coach. Well, who you bringing in? Well, yeah, exactly. You know, Bill Parcells isn't walking through the door. You want to get rid of guys, who you bringing in. You want to get rid of Anderson Carr, that's perfectly fine. Who is going to come in? I guarantee that they're making calls, though. I don't think that if they can get better, he's not going to be on. Here's the better way to answer this, I think. If somebody answers the phone and they're saying yes, he's not going to be on the team. If they can't get anybody to say yes, he's going to be on the team. They're too smart of a team to just cut him and be like, well, we'll see what we can get. Like, no, they're not going to cut anybody unless they know for sure they can bring somebody better in.
Right. Well, I agree 100% on that one. I mean, it's just
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, it's just one of those things. Like you don't want to have to worry about that. But the minute you know it, he comes in. It's like you're sitting at the edge of your seat, biting your fingernails, just hoping that he makes that kick. You know, and you hate to have it. I mean, the guys talk well about him and everything like that, and the coaching staff talks well about him, but. It's just like golf. It's just like baseball. You get something in your head, and sometimes it takes a long time. I guess we had these conversations when Mason Crosby was having his issues.
Yeah.
And he come back the next year, and he just kicked the lights out, you know? And
just looking up to see what Ryan Longwell is doing right now. What is Ryan Longwell up to? Is he?
Yeah.
He's only 50. Ryan's only 50. Yeah. I mean, come on. He might be able to still do it, I bet. I don't know. We'll see what he's up to. He's hanging out still. It looks like he's coaching a little bit. That's good for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, here's another one for Jan Stenerud.
Oh, nice, nice, good one. You know, I mentioned this. I mentioned this a while ago, a couple of weeks after the NFL draft. I am doing something this year that I've never done as a Bear fan. I'm going into it with hope. I'm going into it with blind hope. Yeah. I'm not even saying realistic hope. I'm just going into it with a hope of a good season, a fun season, and seeing some excitement here and there that I've never seen or haven't seen in a long time. Let me give some of that hope to Packer fans out there, because there's something that I'm noticing with this team in the last couple of weeks especially that has got to be pretty exciting, but I imagine that you might not get to see it. You're so close to it. We're talking about the kicker position. That's all you got to worry about, essentially. I understand that there can be concerns here and there if you nitpick and everything, but this team is built so well that we're getting worried about losing a game by 1 point. Like, that's how you got to feel as a Packer fan right now. That's excitement. That is a team that does not have a lot of holes. Really, the only holes they have is youth. That's your big worry. They got depth. They got nothing but potential. You don't have to worry about the quarterback thinking about the contract for the next couple of weeks or anything like that. That's all taken care of. You've got a wide receiver room of nothing but hungry dogs. Nothing but guys that want to be the number one for this future quarterback and attach themselves to him. You've got a running back that has been begging to play for a winning franchise. Just begging to do that. And he's a thoroughbred. One of the top five running backs in the NFL in my book. He got a lot of nice things going on, to the point where, of course, like all NFL franchises that good fan bases, I actually think, you're not looking at this with green and yellow glasses. You're looking at this like, okay, well, What should I be concerned about? Oh, the kicker. And you're focusing on that. Maybe it gets to a point with this team where you don't got to worry about that PAT and everything, because you're ahead by two touchdowns. It might be that kind of team this year. Who knows? There's a lot of good things to be excited about. Although I understand the concern, and you certainly want Matt LaFleur and that franchise worrying about it, as a fan, these things are going to be all right. They're going to take care of themselves. I don't want to use the R word. Brings us back a little ways. But I would calm down. Not relax. Calm down. Just really, take it easy. Just breathe a little bit. There we go. Breathe. How about that? Let's just breathe on that one. And get ready for a fun season, because, boy, we are just weeks, just so close to it.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's just hard to believe. This last weekend, there's already shakeups in 1-0. There's a shakeup in the college football rankings already, where Florida State losing, and they were possibly making them. With the new rules, they still make the playoffs, but boy, you lose that first game of the year like that, you're ranked high in the rankings and you lose to a non-ranked team. The Badgers have a chance to do that to many teams this year. It's going to be interesting.
I'm very excited about it. The college football season, I'm more excited about that than anything, to be honest with you. As much as I should be focused on the Bears, I'm really excited about college football. And just it only makes it even more exciting. Even though it was a tough week right there. Two of my best friends, one is a big, big Georgia Tech fan. That's his team. The other one, Florida State. So I didn't really want to text anybody during any of that. I just sat back on that one and let those two other brothers. So that just compounds the situation. So it's a fun start to the season. Of course, as every talking head will tell you, you want to lose early if you're going to lose. But it does make it a little tougher. It does make it also interesting with the 12-team thing of, you're not completely out of it yet. I think that makes it more exciting for the fan bases and makes it more interesting and tougher, I think, for the collectives that have to make these decisions. Good talking to you, man.
That last comment, I totally agree with you. And the way college football, just like what happened with basketball, with all these transfers, it is starting to become so, so equal.
Yeah,
is starting to, you're starting to see the equality of these programs. Some of these teams are just needed. We talked about it in the spring with basketball and how, the mid-majors are starting to have a say in the tournaments. Is the FBS schools are going to start really making some noise?
Yeah.
That was brought up over the weekend when watching the pregame with North Dakota State.
I'm all focused on Mac football, and I want to see a Mac team, in particular, of course, NIU, have a good run and make it challenging for them to like that. That'll be the next thing. Well, they finished 13th in the in the world. They should have been in.
Yeah.
That'll be the next debate we have. We'll be having it together, man. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks for hanging out.
All right. Yep, you have a good night.
We got to get you on the payroll, brother. We got to appreciate you. It feels like he deserves at least something, free shirt or something. Appreciate you, Kev. Thanks so much. We have the best listeners in radio. Phone lines are open, 715-424-2600. We'll get our first timeout in. That's all right. I'm not going to burn through them right away. We got a couple timeouts left to get us through the next half an hour. I won't burn through all of them. But we do want to get our shout-out to Quality Plus Printing, giving us a chance to do all this. Big thank you to them for sponsoring the hour. Appreciate our friends at Quality Plus. All right, take two. I'm going to try that again. All right, and go. Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got your host, James, behind the mic. Thank you for joining us. Let's go ahead and get to your phone calls. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Thank you for hanging on the line, sir. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Yeah, we just finished up my very favorite game, the Little League World Series. That was awesome last game yesterday. I don't know if you guys got to see any of that, but that was an awesome game last night.
I actually got called over by my mom and dad. They were both watching it, and they were just so excited that it went to extras and everything. It was a really exciting. The whole series was the whole tournament was a lot of fun.
Yeah. The team from Lake Mary there did a great job.
Yeah.
That bunt, and the catcher. The pitcher. Fields the ball and throws it to the first baseman, but the first baseman wasn't even there.
Yeah.
That was Hunter Alexander did that. Yeah. The guy on second scored, won that game. That was awesome. I said, man. And then what do? They go hug the losing team before they even celebrate. What sportsmanship they did there.
That was my favorite was part awesome. Of the whole tournament, honestly.
They were all crying. And
yeah.
They hugged it. Even when Lake Mary tied it up in the sixth there, they were all crying because they got the tie-in run. And he says, wait a minute, we got to go back out and play.
A shout out to that Lathan Norton. The little kid was sick the day before and ends up coming back. Scored from second, I think, at an overthrow.
Yeah.
Just a great job by him. I get impressed by grown men in their 30s that can handle situations in these intense moments with all these eyes on them. These kids doing it is beyond impressive to me. Whatever happens in their lives going forward, they have these memories, they have these moments. It's so cool to think of. It's such a fun tournament.
Yeah, Ethan Norton was a pitcher there. He wasn't throwing anything but strikes. He barely got a couple balls in there. He was pitching great. I mean, their first pitcher gave up two walks and hit batter and then a bunt single, and then they took him out. So, and they only scored that one run, Taipei or whatever.
I got to say, too, another thing that stood out to me that was really fun about this, because now we're seeing this more and more than when I was a kid. A lot of these kids show up in the major leagues. And for the first time, I was looking at the Chinese team, and there was a couple of kids over there that might end up here, too. I hadn't thought of much before.
They had some great players. Their catcher hadn't had a pass ball ever except for the one time in that game.
Mm-hmm.
It was his first pass ball in all those playoffs.
You know, I think I could. I love baseball. I think I could live with if Major League Baseball went under. I think I could handle it as long as we still had this tournament. We still had some high school baseball. As long as we had those two things, I think I could handle it because I just love this tournament.
It was on my bucket list for years to go to the Little League World Series. I was totally disappointed that we had to miss the very first game yesterday with Texas and Venezuela. We didn't get to see that game because the Packers were playing then. So,
That one looked good too.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, sir. Always good talking with you. And we'll talk about the series. We'll talk before then, but we'll definitely talk next year about the World Series. You're our Little League World Series correspondent, so we got to talk about it next year too, okay?
Well, next year I'm hoping to go be there for those last four or five games anyway.
All right, on the field, on the field reporting, even better. I look forward to it. I hope you can check that off your bucket list.
I'm not going to sit on the hill. I'm going to have a ticket in the stand someplace.
Excellent. I look forward to that for you.
I'm going to have a ticket in the stand someplace because I can't see very good from the hill. So.
Yeah. Well, that'll be great. I really look forward to it for you, sir. And thanks so much for the call, as always. You have a great afternoon.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thank you. I do say a shout out to both teams involved, the Taipei team that gave a great effort, and of course, Lake Mary out of Florida, your Little League World Series champions of 2024. Shout out to them. Congratulations to them. That was fun. I love talking Little League World Series. He's so right about it, too. If you get a chance to pull up any clip today, pull up the clip of what that team did as soon as they won. First thing they do, go and celebrate with the opposing team and congratulate them on a great game and everything. That's if sports isn't about, and I'm an adult, I understand there's a lot of money, billions of dollars involved in sports. But to us as fans, if it isn't about sportsmanship, then why else are we doing this? It all comes down to that to me. I don't care what athlete, I don't care about the team, how winning you are, how great you are. If you don't have class, if you don't have if you can't treat the other team right, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't care how much you win. That's just a cool thing to see. It was a really good moment. We wanted to continue a little bit of college football conversation, but I do want to get back to baseball with our stat of the show coming up in a minute. For those that didn't hear, the news broke a little bit earlier this afternoon. The Big Ten on Monday announced its tiebreakers for the league's historic season, which will include 18 teams and match the top two in the overall conference standings against each other in the league championship game. The Big Ten will no longer use divisions and has since added former Pac-12 teams in USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon to the conference. If two teams are tied in the Big Ten standings, conference games only, the following steps will be taken until the participants are decided. Number one, the tied teams will compete or will be compared based on head-to-head matchups during the regular season. So if Wisconsin beats Penn State, they're both tied. Of course, Wisconsin gets the nod. The tied teams will be compared based on record against all common conference opponents, and the tied teams will be compared based on records against common opponents with the best conference record and the proceeding through the common conference opponents. So kind of how we would do this in, you know, if we were just eyeballing it, really. There's a couple of other rules that come into play, but really it really should work itself out, as most conferences, like the SEC or ACC or any of these, I don't want to say they devour each other, but that happens a lot. And most of the time, these teams play each other. So it should work out. It should work itself out, really. And not for nothing, but I think that this actually makes it a little more exciting in some ways. I'm a big fan of the conference title game. I always liked that, but I feel like I'm from a bygone age. I feel like that just doesn't mean what it used to and everything. So now, having it decided this way, maybe it's not always Ohio State representing the Big Ten. You know, maybe if it comes down to this, I like the odds of that. I do think, too, in the Big Ten, this is something I've been looking, I've been wanting to get into. I think that the Ohio State days of running the conference are numbered. Not just because of, and I'm not saying that USC is going to start running it or Washington or something like that. I think that with more teams comes parity, with better teams comes parity. Bringing in a Penn State and some years later a Rutgers and Maryland, that's nice. Those are nice teams. Penn State is its own embodiment and everything, but Rutgers and Maryland didn't bring up the stock of the conference. It didn't bring up the competitive level of the conference. It sure has now. all four of those teams. UCLA, not a team that has been great lately, but not a bad team necessarily either. Washington, Oregon, USC, all contenders, all teams that bring in really good talent, 5-4-star kids. Ohio State's not going to be able to run through these teams like they do a Maryland or Northwestern or some of those teams. That's going to knock them down a peg. Of course, our other teams in the conference have to play those teams as well, but that also ups not only the talent level and the competitive level, but it also gives you a whole new recruiting base. All of a sudden, if you're a kid from California and you're worried about your parents being able to see you play or how it is going to be getting back home, you don't mind coming to Washington as much. You don't mind Wisconsin as much or something like that. So that part of it is going to be pretty interesting, too, to see. Very excited about college football. Just very excited about it. Anything you want to talk about college football ways, we can do that. Want to get our stat of the show in. Want to get to talk about that. Do want to also get into some high school football with everybody as well. But let's see here. Our stat of the show. 14 seconds. 14 seconds is our stat of the show. That is how long it took Chicago Cubs rookie Pete Crow Armstrong to run around the bases for an inside-the-park home run the other day, Friday, I believe it was. Pretty impressive to see. I don't know if others really care about the inside-the-park home run, think about it much, but I've always thought it was one of the more fun parts of baseball. And not for anything, but something that I was all right at when I was young. Oh, I used to look for any opportunity to either get an inside-the-park home run. I would try to hit it in certain parts of the ballpark, like in right field, just because I knew, oh, the right fielder's got a weak arm or something like that. I felt the same way about stealing home. Any chance to steal home, I would take it, which is probably shocking to nobody out there. But it got me thinking of looking into inside-the-park home runs. And, of course, baseball's been around since the dawn of time, it feels like. So who are the all-time inside-the-park home run leaders? Huh? Ever thought about this one? I had not much. I thought about the actual, play. I hadn't thought about the stats that behind it. Well, Jesse Burke, who played in the major leagues from 1890 to 1905, had 55 career inside-the-park home runs, 75 career home runs. The leader in live ball era is Willie Wilson, who played in the majors from 76 to 94. Just an incredible career. And hit 13 inside-the-park home runs of 41 career home runs. It's kind of interesting. What about in a single game? In a single game in the American League, 17 players have tied with Greg Gagne with 2 in a game. That's in the American League. In the National League, Tom McCreary, back on July 12th in 1897, we all remember that moment. He had 3 inside-the-park home runs in one game. Is that an unbreakable stat? I don't know how anybody's going to break that one. That's a tough one. 3 inside-the-park home runs in the same game. In a single season, Ty Cobb has the record from 1909. He had 9 in a season. 9 inside-the-park home runs in one season for the American League. For the National League, Sam Crawford had 12 in a season. Pretty impressive. And again, for the American League, Ty Cobb is the all-time leader with 46 all-time inside-the-park home runs. And Jesse Burke with 55 in the majors. And the National League, Tommy Leach had 49. Over his career. So kind of interesting. Another interesting part of these is something they've been doing, and they haven't been doing this for a long time. I would say back to the early aughts, they really first started doing this. It might have been a little bit longer than that. Don't quote me on that one, but I believe it was somewhere around there where they started timing these, or at least started keeping track of the time. How long it takes to run the bases. How fast can a guy do it? I mentioned our stat of the show is 14 seconds. 14 seconds it took this kid, Crow Armstrong, to run around the bases. And I'm thinking that's got to be a record of some kind. No, it's not. Now, it is good for second or third place, possibly. But you would think off the top of your head, at least, right? Nope. I believe, if I am seeing this right, that would put him on fourth or fifth all time in the top five of the fastest players to ever round the bases. D. Gordon, on June 30th in 2015, had an inside the park home run of 14.2 seconds. Not bad. Not bad at all. Last year, Bobby Witt Jr. Clocked the fourth fastest time at the time with a 14.3. And Bobby Witt Jr., just an exciting player to watch and keep an eye on there. That kid's career is just going up and up. And then Byron Buxton for the Minnesota Twins has the top two spots. 14.1 seconds. He did that back in 2016, in October of 2016. And right now, currently holds the record for fastest time around the bases for an inside-the-park home run. Byron Buxton, August 18th, 2017, 13.9 seconds. Incredible. He's been a lot of fun to watch. Just can't stay healthy. Just unfortunate, because another one of these kids that just seems so exciting to watch and play. And right in our neck of the woods here with a Midwest team, and don't get to see him play nearly enough. But that's a pretty cool stat. 13.9 seconds. That is pretty impressive. Does anybody care about the inside the park home run anymore? Do you guys still care about that? I still find it interesting. I think really all the different ways that you can, accomplish these things in baseball and all these different stats of baseball, I still find very interesting. How about you? Call up, let me know, join the conversation, 715-424-2600. We started our show talking about the trade that the Packers and Tennessee Titans made. The Packers getting third-string quarterback Malik Willis from Tennessee Titans for a seventh rounder. I don't think either team has anything to lose here, and either team has really gained a ton. Tennessee was pretty much all in on Will Levis. They got Mason Rudolph over there backing him up. And, so they're not going to be harmed by this. They may have cut Willis anyway. And Green Bay, seventh rounder, well, you might even get that back with another trade somewhere down the line or something like that, or on draft day. And if you don't feel good about your backup quarterback, you don't have a backup quarterback. That's just it. Like, you can have all the feel-good feelings you want, and, oh, he's a good guy, he's a good in the locker room, et cetera, et cetera. There is so much on the line here. Jobs, money, fan bases. To think that it can all go away if one guy goes down is just insane to me, with how much money and passion and insanity is involved in these NFL teams. So if you feel more comfortable, if the worst happens, with a Malik Willis more than you do, you know, a Sean Clifford or something like that, what do you got to lose? It's a smart move. Kid was a third round pick just a little while ago. And, again, is I think a better fit than the other quarterbacks to back up Jordan Love. Could even, if you want to even stretch this even further, that backup quarterback is oftentimes running the practice squad or running the offense, against the defense, so that they can kind of mimic another quarterback in some of these things. He's going to make the defense even better in practice. I mean, that you got all these little layers to it with football, and every little bit helps. So it seems like a good fit. I'm going to be keeping an eye on the tracker over the next 10 minutes, see what happens. If anything, we will talk about it on Wednesday with more playmakers. We'll get into our schedule, our sports schedule, when we get back. And we'll have some more fun. I'm Playmakers here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Afternoon, everybody. We are rounding third, heading to home plate here on Playmakers. Welcome back to the show. Got a handful of minutes left. We'll take you right to the top of the hour. Call up and join the conversation while we're here. 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Looking forward to hanging out with you, everybody. Speaking of hanging out with you, we'll be doing it again on Wednesday with more Playmakers. Join us from 5 to 6. We'll be having some fun. We got playmakers all week this week, by the way. We'll be here Wednesday and Friday this week, 5 to 6. Shout out to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Wednesday, we will have a great one to lead you into. At 7:05, we got the Luke Fickell Show. Join us for the Wisconsin Badgers head coach all season long. Not only a good conversation, but Luke gives you a behind-the-curtain look of your Badgers. A good coach. Good talker, too. On Friday, boy, we got some excitement going on here. Football on both stations. Let me say that again for the people in the back. Football on both stations Friday night. The college football season kicks off here in Wisconsin at 6 o'clock Friday right here at WFHR. As the Wisconsin Badgers host Western Michigan. Ooh, you're going to be able to hear it and feel it from Madison in here. Going to be exciting. Of course, every game this college football season your Badgers play will be right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. And on WIRI 105.5 at 5:50, our pregame kicks off for Pep and Alma taking on the Assumption Royals here in Rapids. Randy, Mike, Seth going to be covering that for you. You know it's going to sound good with that team. Looking forward to it. Keep in mind, we will not have a Playmakers on Labor Day. Giving our hardworking staff the day off. We've got so many people that work here hard on Playmakers. No, I'm kidding. You know our team. You know our staff. I'm going to give our people the day off. They deserve it. They earned it. And we'll be back that Wednesday to hang out with you for Playmakers. Before we get run out of show, I did want to mention that going on right now is a wonderful opportunity for all you heroes out there. Wisconsin Rapids Blood Drive happening at 311 Lincoln Street right here in Rapids, the old Eastern High School, my old stomping grounds. That is going on until 7 o'clock today. So if you are able to, we greatly appreciate you heading on over there and donating. The Red Cross was hit really hard over the 4th of July weekend. They are still trying to make up reserves. So every one of us that can donate, please encourage you to do so. Big thank you to everybody doing that. All heroes. We were talking high school football. For those that didn't hear, the Friday games, Assumption fell to Marcus Ann, 42-6. Nakusa victorious over Poinette, 20-0. And Pittsville fell to Marathon, 27-20. The games to look forward to this week. Your Red Raiders, or my Red Raiders, however you want to look at it. Thursday, 7 o'clock, taking on Rice Lake, up in Rice Lake. We were talking to the principal over at Port Edwards, and we were talking about how Port Edwards kicks off their season against South Shore, 7 o'clock there. And on Friday, as I mentioned, Alvin Pepin taking on Assumption. We'll have that game for you on 105.5. Going to be a good one. Going to be a fun high school football season. Looking forward to it. In our last minutes here, I'll talk a little Brewers with you, but real quick, it just popped in my head again. Seth and I were talking earlier this morning, and he mentioned something about, you know, what happened to Joe Maddon? And interesting thing to think of. I think about this a little bit as a White Sox fan. You Brewers out there, you Brewer fans, you don't have anything to worry about. You got a great manager. You're going to have a good manager for quite some time. But in the south side of Chicago, a little different story. So it got me thinking about managers. And, of course, I thought of Joe Maddon, who I think has got to be one of the better managers sitting out there doing nothing, hanging out in Key West. Why does Joe Maddon not have a job? Feels weird. One of the better coaches we've seen. You good luck finding a player that doesn't love him. Got a World Series ring. Not just a World Series ring. A World Series ring with a team that nobody ever thought was going to win a World Series. Kind of curious. I wonder what the backstory of that is. I'm not saying there is one, but if there is one, I'm curious to know what it is. And if there isn't one, could we please see him in a White Sox uniform? Please, God, please. Sorry, that's just me talking. But I thought it was a good question. I wanted to bring it up. I thought that was a good one. Maybe we can talk more about it Wednesday. Brewers got a day off today. Going to be taking on the Giants over the next couple of nights. That should be a great series. Then you get to take on the Oakland Athletics, who are not a, they already did beat up on the Athletics a little bit there. Although the Athletics, not a horrible team, have some nice players on the team, as they usually do. But of course, gearing up for the season, what do you think are the weaknesses? What do you think are the advantages of the Milwaukee Brewers? I want to talk about that on Wednesday with you. We've got a great report here from MLB, from ESPN, actually. About that, like the current teams, what their biggest strengths and their biggest weaknesses are. I'm curious to know what you guys think of that one. Get into that. And we'll have plenty of high school and college football to talk. How excited are you about the college football season? I don't think I've taken any calls really about it so far. Let's get into that Wednesday. Let's talk some college football. We're here, baby. It's week. We're already in the college football season. We're already in. So let's talk some college football. See what cuts are made. We'll talk about that on Wednesday, too. Who got cut? Who shouldn't have gotten cut, maybe? See what the kicker position is going on in Green Bay. We'll have plenty to talk about. Thank you so much to our callers today, to the best listeners in radio, to Quality Plus Printing. Buy local, support local. Have yourselves a great afternoon, everybody. A good night. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.